Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 265th edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at SoccerNewsDay.com, as well as locally on the New York Red Bulls on FansFavorite.com. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer to the best of my ability. And before we get to review both Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the first leg here, I have some news that I will inform you about personally for myself. But before we even get to that, and of course other news going on in U.S. soccer, I want to talk about something that has really made me very upset and made me very angry to hear about what happened. Now, I think most of you have heard about the comments, and I know most of you have read about these comments, or for those of you that were in Brooklyn to be at the Men in Blazers BlazerCon, the very first one in Brooklyn, New York. I wish I was there. If I knew it was there, I would have gone to it, but unfortunately I did not know where in Brooklyn it was, so I was not over there, but that's okay. Maybe one day, I'll do a Feuerstein's Fire Con, and we'll have some fun here as well. But, you know, the conversation, of course, will always be discussed about promotion and relegation. We always know that this topic will be discussed no matter where you go. It doesn't matter what part of the year it is, either the beginning of the calendar, the middle of the calendar, the end of the calendar, or every single day, every single minute, every single month, hour, year. Promotion and relegation will always be discussed about should it be implemented. It has to be implemented to be considered a real league or real leagues. And at the moment, I still feel like, even though I do want it to happen, I'm not going to push it down people's throats, because it does not deserve to be pushed down people's throats, because we still have to see what's going to happen here. Because let's not forget, we need to see if every single professional league, including maybe in an amateur leagues, we don't know, if they are going to be a part of this. We have to make sure that every single club is going to be walking together and making these types of situations happen. And once again, I will implement a certain phrase that I've heard in a certain movie musical. And at the same time, it was written by one of our founding fathers, of course, John Hancock, who signed the Declaration of Independence. And this is during, of course, what he said when there was the American Revolution. Either we all walk together, or together we must stay where we are. And that is the crux of the matter. So, once again, Commissioner of Major League Soccer, Don Garber, was at BlazerCon. He went to BlazerCon, and he basically just went on a tangent. And let me just say this. I understand why he said what he said. Okay? I understand why he said what he said, because I understand what they're trying to do to make sure. Because once again, while the sport of soccer, football, is improving, it's still being challenged in different parts of our country. And at the same time, the American sports media still doesn't consider these leagues to be serious. I mean, sure, it's nice to see end of the year, you know, big articles, but we're talking about there should be big articles from start to finish that have not been implemented just yet. WFAN in New York, even though they did agree to a deal with the Yankees for radio coverage of their baseball team, which also added New York City FC radio coverage, they are still fighting it. They're still fighting it. And how do I know this? Because I talk to people who work at WFAN, who cover the team. They're still fighting it. continue to fight this sport as not worth their time. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's the truth. They don't want to cover it unless we're going to have real radio coverage nationally and locally in all areas of the United States. Okay? And I understand what Don Garber has been doing, setting up multi-million dollar businesses to create this league. These are not clubs. These are, I understand, they're franchises. Okay, fine, whatever. But the point is that this man decided when he made his comments to give a smackdown for no reason to Chattanooga FC. Chattanooga FC, in my view, is one of those clubs in a town where at the moment, even though University of Tennessee Chattanooga is not a big club, or should I say not a big school, it's still a major school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in their eyes. They wanted to bring in a club. Where were they going to go? Well, they want to go to the NPSL. Why? Because probably the owners, who are Crew Brock and Sheldon Grizzle, they probably felt that the NPSL, the National Premier Soccer League, was the best destination to be for their club. And that also means not just playing in the NPSL, but at the same time, they're also fighting in the U.S. Open Cup. They're trying to qualify for the U.S. Open Cup. And so far, they've done a damn good job in the U.S. Open Cup. And of course, Bill Elliott, who has been on this show during Open Cup review shows, every opportunity that I can give Chattanooga FC to talk about their club, to be a part of the fabric of professional, or at least in U.S. soccer, they did not deserve, whether they were looking for it or not, which I know they weren't because they weren't paying attention to whatever was going on. I bet they were even more surprised that they got nailed by Don Garber's comments than everyone else. Chattanooga FC does not deserve the verbal smackdown they got from Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber. That is inexcusable. You want to make a point, Don? Do you really want to make a point about why it's not going to work here? Fine. Make your point. But don't even dare, out of the blue, pick on a side that doesn't deserve this. I praised you, Don Garber. Even though there are times I still think there's some of these decisions you've made that are not good, I still praised you for your vision. I still praised you for how you got Major League Soccer when it was in the time of need. And you're losing owner by owner by owner, club by club. You had to contract the fusion. You had to contract the mutiny. Philip Anschutz had to grab 70% of the clubs. Lamar Hunt grabbed 30% of the clubs. And the slight percent, because of Robert Kraft just sticking with the revolution, he could have folded them, but you got him to believe in this. You got him to believe in keeping the revolution afloat. And so far, that was a great job by you. And you're talking about Sporting Kansas City and how they built their great park. Sporting Park is a beautiful gem of a stadium in this league, just like Red Bull Arena, the original stadium, soccer-specific stadium in Columbus, now MAPRI Stadium. StubHub Center, Toyota Park, Toyota Field. I mean, you know, BMO, Stade Saputo, Avaya, BBVA Compass Stadium. These are all jewels of stadiums, and I can't wait to see what Orlando's going to do when they finally are starting to do their thing. But I'm telling you right now, I am telling you right now, this is a travesty, what you did to a club that has been building within their own area to make it bigger and better, Who knows if they have aspirations to try to go to either the USL, maybe the NASL? Who knows? Maybe they want to come to Major League Soccer. But they're playing at Finley Stadium, which is basically the downtown stadium for everything. If they do decide to build their own stadium, I hope they do. If they don't, it's fine. It's whatever they want to do, it's fine. Bill Elliott, I've had him on my show, their head coach, Bill Elliott, has to be commended for the job he has done on the field, developing this roster, taking it from local players in Chattanooga, other players that have played probably for the men's soccer side for University of Tennessee Chattanooga. And how about the general manager, Sean McDaniel? How about these men? These men dedicated since 2009 to make Chattanooga FC into a force to be reckoned with within the National Premier Soccer League. And did they deserve to be smacked down like that? Did Chattanooga FC deserve to be taken down? I know you apologized, Don, and I'm glad you did, but the truth of the matter is this. That's not fair. That is not fair to what you did to Chattanooga FC. You want to say, look, we don't want to see Sporting Kansas City go because, you know, they spent all this money to do this and to do that, and they built their own stadium and for the sport and everything else. Fine. That's not the problem. The problem is Chattanooga FC does not deserve to be smacked across their forehead without knowing what was happening. Why is this the American Soccer Show? Because this show is dedicated not just to Major League Soccer, not just to the North American Soccer Leagues. Every single freaking club that is either professional or amateur or semi-pro deserves to get their voices heard on this one, whether you guys like it or not. And tonight, it's Chattanooga FC's turn. They deserve the praise for not just being a part of that community and being stronger and stronger every single season, because they could have folded up shop long time ago, but they didn't, because they are wanted by the community. They see the things that they are doing is becoming better and better and better. Sure, they haven't won an NPSL title yet. They got thwarted this year by the New York Cosmos B team. They were thwarted by the New York Red Bulls under 20 last season. But the people in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they see the progress that's being made. They see what is going on with this club. I see what's going on with this club. You should be ashamed of yourself, Don. You should be ashamed of yourself for even thinking about throwing that into your discussions. Everything you have done, I know you apologized for it, and thank you for apologizing. Let's just throw it out there right now, Don. Thank you for apologizing for making those rash comments. But I'm telling you right now, that's not fair to Chattanooga FC at all. That is not fair at all to Chattanooga FC. Because just like every other club that's not in Major League Soccer, that's not in the NESL, and that's not even in the USL, whoever's in the PDL, the NPSL, and all the lower levels, they deserve their own praise. And for you to pull that off at the Men in Blazers BlazerCon, for you to pull that off and singling out Chattanooga FC for no reason is a disgrace. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself for doing that. This is why the show has been around since 2010, beginning St. Patrick's Day. Because we need to praise everybody, and at the same time, do they deserve some criticism? Yes. But by no means whatsoever, did Chattanooga FC deserve what you did to them. I hope those 4,000 people, which is really not 4,000, but I hope those 4,000 people and their crummy field. You want to talk about crummy fields, Don? Really simple. NYCFC is playing inside Yankee Stadium, a baseball stadium. Arthur Blank's Atlanta Falcons and his new Atlanta United FC will be playing in a brand new stadium with field turf. Okay? You want to talk about crappy fields? You forget that your baby, your precious New York City club is playing inside Yankee Stadium. I don't have to tell you that the dimensions are crap. I don't have to tell you that where they are is crap and you wanted it so badly. Do I have to remind you what you begged for? You continue to pull this off. And you wonder why people are upset with you. It's really simple, Don. Be aware of what's inside MLS and don't compare it to anywhere else below it. Because you want to know why? Because this is why we love to come bring this all back and tell you are wrong. You are wrong. This is a disgrace, Don. I know you apologized, and I'm grateful you did. But everything I've done to praise you, because I know the hard work you've done to keep Major League Soccer going and to make sure that it does not fall apart. Truth of the matter is this. You shouldn't have done what you did, and that is a disgrace. I know you apologized, and I'm grateful you did. I am happy you apologized. But I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry, Don. You have smack-talked Chattanooga FC for no reason. And you know what? They didn't deserve it. Bill Elliott didn't deserve it. Sean McDaniel didn't deserve it. Sheldon Grizzly, Crew Brock, they did not deserve that. It's a disgrace. And a commissioner of Major League Soccer, a commissioner of any professional sport, or the game itself in any other leagues, they should not even have to worry about lower level sides because they're not in your league. Why is it, and before I move forward here, why is it Richard Scudamore, who runs the Premier League in England, why has he not said a single word verbal smackdown on any clubs outside of the Premier League? Forget about Pro Rel for a second on this one. Just forget about that for a second. Take that out of the equation. Why has Richard Scudamore not said a single word about any other club from within the English club system? Because you want to know why? Because the man doesn't have to worry about these other clubs. Because this man doesn't have to say a word. This man does not have to say a single thing that will make these clubs angry at him because he knows they're going to be coming up. And he also knows that whoever's going to go down might be coming back up again. But still, he shows the respect. Every single club on every single level, from the Premier League to the Championship to the Football Leagues 1 and 2 and every other league below them that will be playing not just their own league systems, not just the Carling Cup tournaments, but also the FA Cup as well, because he knows who's coming and he knows who's not. And if he is aware of who's coming, he will welcome them with open arms. Stop putting your foot in your mouth, Don. Please stop doing it. This is not what a league commissioner should do when it comes to this type of situation. Because you look foolish and petty, and some people are going to be saying, what the hell is going on now? It's terrible. And I am ashamed of you for making those comments. I am ashamed of you. And you gotta stop making a fool out of yourself. That's all I am asking. Thank you very much. Please don't do this again, because I don't want to have to do this again. But I will. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show tonight. I had to get that off my chest because that was not fair. That was not fair. What happened with Chattanooga FC? They never, ever deserved anything like that at all. They never deserved that. They're doing a great job running their club, making it popular when it's soccer season in the United States. It's not fair what happened. And I know, again, Don apologized, but still, it's not fair. With all the positives that Chattanooga FC have strived for since they began setting up shop in 2009. Great show for you tonight, of course, conference finals, first leg review show. I'm glad to have a guest talking about the Timbers and, of course, the 3-1 first leg victory against FC Dallas. Christian Miles, now back with Fox Sports, will be on here, of course, reviewing that match with me. Of course, I will be talking about the Red Bulls and the Columbus Crew tonight as well afterwards in that first leg matchup. But two things I want to talk about. And before we even get to a situation about myself, I want to say congratulations to former Metro Stars, Sporting Kansas City, New York Red Bulls, and U.S. Men's National Team goalkeeper. And I guess we can now say very soon former counterattack Sirius XM FC radio host Tony Meola, as he will be the new head coach of the Jacksonville Armada. You know, Tony Meola is a veteran of this of these clubs. Tony Meola, a veteran of U.S. soccer, everything going on. And all I can say is that this man, you know, I was fortunate enough that inside Red Bull Arena, he was honored by the club, 20 players in 20 seasons, being recognized for what he has done and for this club, both as Metro Stars and New York Red Bulls, a local native of Kearney, New Jersey, of course. Kearney, pardon me. All I can say is this. What this man has deserved a job like this for a while now, and to have the knowledge of the game, not just as a keeper, but as a whole, it's just absolutely gratifying. Gratifying. To see a man like this getting into the coaching level. Now, obviously, you know, it's probably taken him a long time to get to where he need. We know where he is, and all I can say is that I'm very happy for Tony. I mean, you know, him, Tab Ramos, Peter Vermees, John Harkes. Now, you know, that 1994 team in the World Cup that was, you know, even in 1990, you know, they were the host of the 94 World Cup, going up against giants at the time like Colombia. You know, taking on Brazil in the second round. And to see these men that have been doing television, radio, assistant coaching at a time, now head coaches from that time, good for them. Very happy for them. And I really, really hope, really, really hope that Tony gets plenty of success. And I know it's only been one season so far with Jacksonville. Let's hope he can turn around as quickly as possible, if it is possible. Let's hope it happens. But right now, the situation for Tony is this. Congratulations to Tony Meola, new head coach of Jacksonville Armada, and I hope you have a solid season in 2016. It's a little different. You got two split seasons. We'll see what happens, and we'll see how the turnaround will be for Jacksonville. Should be a lot of fun. Should be exciting. I personally cannot wait to see what Tony's going to do. And now it's time to talk about myself. And it's really simple. Last week, or this past Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this past week, in the middle of the week, I signed a contract with SB Nation and asked by Jason Iapico to be the beat writer for the New York Red Bulls for the Once a Metro website. I have agreed to a contract, and I'm very excited. It's going to get started. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting. We'll be joining the Once a Metro boys over there on SB Nation. And it's a very exciting time for me. And, you know, a lot of hard work, of course, went into this, as always. But the popularity of this show and the popularity of my, you know, of you reading my writing, reading my articles, everything going on. I want to thank every one of you that listens to this show. I want to thank each and every one of you that reads my articles. I want to also thank Mike Firpo and Herb Scribner from Soccer News Day for bringing me along, allowing me to join their site when MLS Talk got removed and it's all now World Soccer Talk. I want to thank those gentlemen that have allowed me to join their website, and it's just an exciting time for me. I'm very, very excited to be joining Once a Metro from SB Nation. I'll be joining these other writers as well: Tom Slater, Anthony Alley, Austin Fido. Of course, let's also not forget Jason Iapico, who runs the site as well, is also a writer. Ryan Dolan and Anthony Terminelli. I also want to say thank you, everyone. Of course, Jean-Pierre Chigné, just getting all these names down, of course, Steve Toto, who have been writing these articles for Once a Metro. But I also want to say thanks again to Jason Iapico. Thanks to Jason Iapico for considering me to joining the site. I'm grateful for that, and I really am grateful for everyone answering my my Facebook posts. Of course, I'm also my Twitter posts as well. You know, I'm just grateful to have good people following and good people reading and listening and everything going on. So once again, thank you everyone for the support. I do appreciate it, every single one of you. And all I can say is that I'm just going to continue to do the best of my abilities to give you solid coverage of the New York Red Bulls and everything else going along with it. It's just been absolutely a fantastic couple of days, and I will start December 1st of this year. So once again, also want to thank Rick Lachland for allowing me to cover the Red Bulls for fansfavorite.com. Very excited about that. And I'm just, once again, happy and grateful to everyone that has allowed me to do all these great things and allow me to be a part of a brand new thing. I try to stay in one place, but you know what? It's not bad to move around a little bit, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity that has been given to me. So, once again, thank you all very much for allowing me to do this, and I'm just grateful once again that this is happening. So, you know, I'm very happy about this. But now it's time to move on and talk about these conference finals. We're going to go to the Western Conference first. Joining me now, a man that will be rejoining Fox Sports for their Club World Cup and Under-17 World Cup coverage. It is, of course, my good friend Christian Miles. Christian, thanks for coming back on and welcome.
Thank you, man. Good to be back on. I haven't talked footy with you in a while.
I know, especially you being a Portland native. How about that 3-1 first leg victory by the Timbers? I mean, you figure it's going to be a good, hotly contested matchup at Providence Park. But I think when the second half began, I didn't expect Portland to put that much of a, or at least a big hurting on FC Dallas the way they did.
Oh, I know. And, you know, it was just muscular Rose City soccer that it personified this team throughout the entire season. And Caleb Porter came into the league a few years ago, 2013, really had problems sorting out his defense, but that back line with Ridgewell, Powell, and Biafani on the flanks, and Ridgewell and the beard, Fear the Beard, Big Matt Borchers, he's been a colossus. He's been one of the best signings, you'd have to say, of the season. And that type of football, you know, FC Dallas really couldn't cope with the big physical stature and muscularity at Portland. And ultimately it showed. And, it's something that's kind of personified the Timbers, I think, since, you know, about three or four games before the end of the regular season when they just squeaked into the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a big moment there because there was a big question mark of would the Timbers make the playoffs this year? I mean, I mean, we might have to say it was a bit of an up and down regular season, but then all of a sudden they have a great wild card game against Sporting Kansas City. How that double post and out shot ever happened saved their skins, but still, they're just riding a high and they just find a way to take out Vancouver in the conference semis. And here they are. They're basically 90 minutes away from going to the MLS Cup final.
Oh, it's interesting. And it's a team that had so many problems. They went through a summer goal scoring drought. You know, Adi had a great start, went dry. Everything went south for him. Maruti wasn't on form. They weren't getting the goals from midfield that they needed. They always had it. You know, a great back line, the Kouarsé, the goalkeeper, maturing, and they always had a great back line and were always able to defend with a nice block of about, you know, four, five or six back there and letting those wingers get forward. But defensively has been the bedrock of this team. And once the goals started to come in, you just got the feeling they built from Kyle. Of course, you know, you got that 12th man with that home support over at Providence Park. It makes it a lot easier, but it's all about the beard, isn't it? At this point, Fear the Beard. I mean, I couldn't stop looking at Nat Borcher's beard. It was like watching Donald Trump speak. You keep looking at the hair, but you don't know what's coming out of his mouth. Absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say this. I think I told you this before you came on the air. Someone posted on Twitter a picture of Nat Borcher playing for the old Rapids in that old black and blue striped kit. And with no beard, no facial hair, no nothing. And now you look at Nat Borchards now, and I have to say, he does fit in the Portland scene, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you know, he's one step away from the glitter hipster Portland beard. The guy's a man. He could run for mayor if they keep going like this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that opening goal from the corner in the 23rd minute, I mean, Nagby curled in a very dangerous ball. And even though Liam Ridgewell was in, you got to give Asprilia a lot of credit because he's the one that moved that ball across inside the area to make that goal happen.
Yeah, you know, if you just look at those two teams, you know, the goals and the way that game unfolded, I really thought was almost an extreme characterization of the difference in philosophies between these teams because Portland's big. They've been doing set pieces that good in the air. They really like to just shove it down your throat and they can hit you with power and strength. And then you've got this FC Dallas team. They play this expansive, fast football, but they do have their problems on the marking on the set pieces. And, you know, that was ultimately what won out. Your ability to just out-muscle this FC Dallas team. It doesn't mean that FC Dallas, I believe, is out of this by any stretch because I really expect them to give it a good go, but get this feeling today that third goal is a death sentence for Oscar Pereira and company, because they've got to go and hope for a 2-0 against the informed team in Major League Soccer right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Timbers, I mean, it's funny right now because if the Timbers get the result that they're looking for, and even an away goal, I mean, it wouldn't mean anything, obviously, because it'd still be even, but still, you know, you get an away goal and you add on to the aggregate and that's it, it's over. And, I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the second leg, but still, it's just going to be interesting to watch. And, you know, that goal from Darian Asprilla, oh, my God. I mean, I mean, you're talking about individual class. You know, quality as always, but what this kid has shown you is what he can do with the ball, and when he decides to say, I'm going to take a rip at this, and how he bent that in front of Fernandez, I was just an unbelievable strike.
Yeah, even Borchers in his post-match interview on Fox couldn't believe the bend, the whip on that one. Absolutely stunning. I mean, the way it curled away from the keeper out there, there's absolutely no chance. You know, and he's not known for that, the kid, but, you know, maybe it's something we haven't seen in his repertoire, but he certainly had the confidence to hit it, and, you know, he can't hit it any better than that. And that goal, along with the two others, actually, it you talk about away goals and the complexion that it brings to the second leg. This really changes the SC Dallas approach, because obviously now when they go back down to Frisco, it puts more of the attacking onus on them, and it gives them a little bit more urgency from the get-go than they could, say, at a 2-1 advantage, and they can come back and settle into the game and take their chances, hit in transition where they are so good. Now they've got to come out fresher a little bit more. And when you look at a team that defends so well, as good as Portland does, it really plays into the Timbers' hands. Big question mark, the big X factor, Liam Ridgewell. Is he going to be able to go? Is his injury bigger than anticipated? Is it going to keep him out? Because once he went out with Papato coming into central defense and partially at fault for that goal, if not entirely at fault. So that's a big question mark, and that's really, you know, one of the bright spots for SC Dallas. But they're going to have to come out on the front foot and really take it to him.
And my apologies, that's Jesse Gonzalez, not Fernandez in goal. It's Jesse Gonzalez. But what is it with Kawarsi? Because apparently something changed. Something happened when he just took over goal. I know he got blitzed in the 2-0 loss in the regular season by the Red Bulls. You know, that long-distance Felipe rip that he misjudged completely. The header that was put in by Damien Perronel. But was it something in that wild card game that has just changed the entire complexity of this Portland Timbers team in the playoffs? Because Kawarsi just, I mean, let's put it this way. He pulled some saves out of his rear in that penalty shootout that he had no business saving.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question about, you know, his shot-stopping ability. And for a new goalkeeper in a new league coming over from Norway, of course, that's the automatic, that's the easy part of being a goalkeeper, making those saves, because it's entirely reflexive. Getting your positioning, understanding aerial balls, how teams attack, where to position yourself, how to organize your back four. That's where you get into the more cognitive and mental aspects. And to be honest, you know, personality and confidence aspects of being a goalkeeper. And I think that's the hard part that really comes with experience, that it, you know, you can't just pick up, you know, if you're a great athlete, you can make a shot stop. You can make that reflexive save, but it takes a special goalkeeper to align his center backs and have the confidence to say, hey, Nat Borchers, I need you to step. And here, Paparazzo, you need to drop and, you know, tell Aldis Powell to bomb up the right flank and tell Villafania to hold back. And I think that's what we're seeing with Kawarsi. He's mentioned it himself. He's had problems adapting to MLS, and we've seen it happen with all players coming from foreign leagues with the pace, the physicality. I think he's finally now settling in, and Portland's place in the playoffs is a reflection of the format. The form team that hits it at the right time goes all the way, and I think they have to be considered the team to beat.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And just to see him making these unbelievable – I mean, even in the second leg – against the Whitecaps in the conference semifinals. I mean, he made some spectacular saves against Vancouver that, okay, fine, it's 0-0 in the first leg at Providence Park. What is Portland going to do? And I know they put in the away goal, and Vancouver needed two to at least advance, but then some of the saves he made were just unbelievable. And then here they come putting in that second goal late, and you knew it was over by then.
Yeah, and you know, and also a testament to, you know, Kouwarse being good enough to his Portland to say, hey, you know what, thanks, Donovan Ricketts, but no thanks. And a bit of due to a guy who's, you know, I knew was a big part of the setup in Portland in the early days and had a great run with the Timbers in 2013 and 14. You know, for him to usurp the big Jamaican like that, who was absolutely fantastic for Portland in his time, is a testament to the belief, but the potential that this kid showed to the coaching staff and to the Portland team in Major League Soccer for them to jettison a keeper of the caliber of Donovan Ricketts, who, you know, on the balance is one of the better goalkeepers who have taken the gloves in this league, is a testament to Kouwarse. I think it's a kid that's got a bright future, and, you know, we're seeing a maturation of the keeper. It always takes them just a little bit longer to season themselves. You know, they say the keepers don't really hit their prime until they get in about, you know, the early 30s, and Kouwarse is definitely starting to mature very well.
Yeah, he really is, and Portland is looking dangerous, and that's why these playoffs are always exciting. You don't know. Someone might sneak in. They might take a run, and Portland's on that run right now. So, once again, maybe two away goals will prevent FC Dallas getting to the Cup Final. We'll see what happens. But I want to ask about yourself now. You're returning to Fox Sports. You informing me you're doing the Club World Cup. Of course, that's always exciting to see who represents South America, who represents Europe, because we all know it's a Mexican club who will always represent CONCACAF until an MLS team will one day get that opportunity. But how exciting are you going to see what's going to happen here in this Club World Cup?
Oh, it's always, you know, it has its detractors, but I think it's an overlooked tournament, and it's taken in serious regard by teams from our region, but also the Asian region, which will be the host country this time, as opposed to Morocco, as it'll be held in Japan. So chance for the host nation to shine, and Japan has held it on six previous occasions and has, you know, received all kinds of praise, and a chance for a lot of these European teams, these South American teams, to, you know, accentuate their presence in the Asian market. But it's always great. I mean, you throw in the likes of the Copa Libertadores winners, you throw in the likes of the Champions League winners like Barcelona. It's going to be a class tournament, and there's always a little bit of an upset sometimes. You never know, like with the likes of an Auckland City who will come out of Oceania. They had a great run in 2014 and dominated their region. So it's almost like watching a League Cup game in England, where you get a chance to see some of the young guys. You get a chance to see some of these lesser-known teams and nations and areas that are still developing the game to test their wits against, you know, some of the best prime teams in world football. And I love it. It's a great spectacle. It's fun to watch. And the hours, let's be honest, are a bit of a killer. They're about 17 hours ahead of us on West Coast time. So it's going to be a bit of an eye-opener, similar to what we had in the World Cup in 2002.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and before I let you go, are you excited about next summer's Copa America Centenario?
You know, I haven't really had a chance to digest that one. I've got to be, in all honesty, I've never been a real fan of just purely exhibition tournaments. And, you know, yes, Copa America Centenario is something to be – it has the star power, but ultimately it really isn't a serious competition. It's more of an exhibition. And, more power to it. If you want to go see that, that's great. And it's similar to the ICC or these preseason friendlies. Yes, it'll be nice. It'll be great to see these teams out here. But ultimately, it's not a real serious tournament. But that's not to say it's not good for football, and that's not to say that it's, especially in this country, and that's not to say that it, you know, won't be enjoyable and not worth watching, because I will certainly be tuning in, just as I do with these preseason friendlies that we see on stateside during the summer months. So it should be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I might grab a bunch of guys and go out there and become a fan myself and go see some teams play. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see, and I really hope I hope it will be a solid tournament. Listen, if Brazil and Argentina want to take it as a preseason friendly, then that's fine. Whatever. But I'd like to see these other. I'd like to see maybe USA or see if Mexico can find a way to sneak into the Final Four if it gets that deep. We'll see what happens, but it should be. And I'm hoping you get a chance to actually call one of these games. I would love to hear you call one of these games, man. That'd be great.
Oh, I'd love it, Dan. You know, it's interesting. You bring up a great point too. It's so much of this benefits, you know, soccer in North America. And in specifically Central America as well, that, you know, we chance to test our wits against these teams from South America who are always so impressive in world tournaments, specifically the World Cup. And I think there's a lot to gain for the United States men's national team who've you know, gone through, let's call it, a steep learning curve in the last year. Wonderful opportunity for them to pit their wits against the best. And it can be nothing but positive, nothing but gain for teams from our region. So, from that standpoint, it's a positive. And I'm really
absolutely
looking forward to it. I hope I get to call a few myself.
Oh, that's the hope, man. That's the hope. Christian, thank you very much again for joining me tonight. And I will give you a buzz if I need you for next week. So take care and have a good night, my friend. Thank you very much.
Cheers, my man. Thanks. Good talking to you.
You too. Christian Miles, now back with Fox Sports, talking the Club World Cup, calling the Club World Cup now. And FIFA's under-17 World Cup for the next one, probably. So it should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. We'll see what happens with Christian going forward. And now it's time to talk about the Red Bulls losing 2-0 in Columbus in that first leg. I think we can all say for the Red Bulls, of course, you know, that was not the best defending on the opening goal. Yet, you know, Columbus, they took it to them early and they wanted to prove a point. I think they did prove a point that, you know, they're here too. You know, they deserve to go through to the MLS Cup final as well. But once again, it's a two-legged series. And what Columbus is also known for is this. They're known for not winning matches on the road. They're not good at winning matches on the road. And I think what is going to have to happen here with the Red Bulls, when you are going to be at home, sold out Red Bull Arena, live on Fox Sports 1 this coming Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, it means that it's time for the supporters of the New York Red Bulls to bring the noise, to bring the ruckus, to go out there and prove why they are, once again, the Supporters' Shield champions. Obviously, some will take it to the week and a half, 2 weeks that they were off because of the international break. But once again, this is the situation that continues on. And, you know, you got to go and play your game. This time, once again, no bookings on any Red Bull players. There was fouling, but there was no bookings. And that's a positive because no one is getting suspended for the second leg, but we'll see what happens in that second leg. It's really simple, and I think they know this as well. You got to score early in the first half. Don't know if they're going to have a four-goal explosion in the first half like they did against New England and Philadelphia at Red Bull Arena, but if that four-goal explosion does happen again within the first 45 minutes of this second leg, then everything's been erased, obviously, hasn't it? Once again, the Red Bulls did show that they did come to play. And you have to give credit to Steve Clark in goal for Columbus because Clark did a very good job, especially after Columbus got that opening goal 8 seconds in. They got that opening goal 8 seconds in, and you just have to give them credit for how they were able to beat the Red Bulls that way. It's not something to sneeze at, but the truth of the matter is that for the Red Bulls, they got to do a little bit better defensively and be aware of who's on the field. I know Cedric Matwabi made some brilliant moves with the ball. Broke a couple of ankles here and there. Poor defending when Kai Kamara is trailing the play on the back door. Now, that's not Luis Robles' fault. The defense just did not do well in those two moments. If the Red Bulls were able to pull back an away goal, people wouldn't be talking it's now big, big-time trouble here. But once again, as I wrote in fansfavorite.com, as I said, you know, this, you know, this is a situation where it's doable, in fact. See, back when Sporting Kansas City was known as the Wizards, and before the Earthquakes moved to Houston, the original Earthquakes, the Earthquakes were down 2-0 on aggregate in the playoffs against Sporting Kansas City. Landon Donovan was still on. Landon Donovan was still on the Earthquakes. I don't think it was all him, but he did help bring the club back down 2-0 on aggregate to 2-1 to 2-2 and did it 3-2. So you would have to say that being down 2-0 and holding off the Crew, providing no shots on goal, it is doable. Doable. That the Red Bulls can come back and make it a 3-2 aggregate lead. That's a situation for the Red Bulls right now that it's, you know, it's right there in front of them. They have 90 minutes to do it. They've scored 3-4 goals within the first 45 minutes before, and I think they'll do it again. But give Columbus credit. Give them credit for how they fought back, or at least fighting to take advantage on counters and that great play. Because if Sasha Kljestan converts one of his two chances, then it'd be a little bit more easier for the Red Bulls to go back home and to maybe do some damage, because then they could have gotten the away goal. Now the away goal is against them if Columbus converts one. Because if they're going to convert one, they're going to have to score 4. And this time, I don't think they're going to change the formation. I think that they're going to just keep on going with what they're going with, and we'll see what happens. But let me say this, and I want to give Jesse Marsh a lot of credit here. He felt he should have put in a defensive substitution instead of an offensive one in this match. And rightfully so. He probably should have. And, you know, most coaches would never, ever admit to that, but he did. And you know what? That's a good thing to see when you see a coach admitting he should have done this, he should have done that. That's great to see Jesse putting some blame on himself. But you know what? Once again, I know an MLS Cup title is on the line here. An MLS Cup championship hosting the final is on the line. Will it be at Red Bull Arena? Will it be in Columbus? Because right now, Portland is automatically the roadside if they advance to the final. So they could be heading to the state capital of Ohio, or they could be heading to Harrison, depending on what they do first. This is the situation that's in front of them for the Red Bulls, that if they want to keep on going here, this is a big moment for them. They're going to have to play lights out. They're going to have to score tons of goals. They're going to have to keep on blocking shots and forcing the Crew, forcing them to make their shots go wide, or at least forcing them to put these shots on frame and right at Luis Robles. And that's the situation we have right now. That's the situation that's in front of us. If you are a supporter of the New York Red Bulls, this is going to be another hotly contested match. and you'll see it live, Fox Sports 1, 7:30 p.m. this coming Sunday night. And the winner will host MLS Cup, unless Dallas does the impossible. Someone's going to host MLS Cup Final, and that will be seen on Sunday, December the 6th, 4 p.m. Eastern, live on ESPN. But once again, the Red Bulls showed effort. They did not wilt. They did not turtle. They showed effort. They showed great poise. They showed why they are still Supporters' Shield champions. And now they're going to come back home to Red Bull Arena, where it's going to be a sold-out Red Bull Arena. Sold-out Red Bull Arena. And hopefully we will see. We will see what they're made of. But once again, give Greg Berhalter and the crew plenty of credit. They played a phenomenal first leg. They played a phenomenal first leg, and they showed plenty of grit and determination to go out there to do a job. And now it's time for them to go on the road and see what they're made of. They had an away goal in Montreal, but it wasn't enough because Montreal won that first leg 2-1. Now it's time to see what they can do against a Red Bull side that is comfortable at home, easy to play at home, sold out Red Bull Arena. If you thought the ruckus was loud in Columbus, the ruckus will be even 10 million times greater at Red Bull Arena. We'll see what happens as this side will continue on to see if they'll finally reach the MLS Cup Final and host it for the first time. And let's also not forget this as well, that the New York Red Bulls have never won an Eastern Conference title in the playoffs either. Yes, they've won the Western Conference title back in 2008 when they were in the Western bracket because of the way things are. But once again, the situation is very clear, very, very clear. They need to prevent Columbus from scoring any goals. They need 2 to tie to force extra time. They need 3 to have the outright lead, 4 to get a cushion, and they just need to make sure that they just continue on and play their game. They just need to play their game, and yes, they need to make sure that they don't fall asleep in the first minute. And who knows? Maybe, just maybe, the New York Red Bulls might pull off a Justin Meerum, meaning they might do what they might do to Columbus what Columbus did to them to start the match. But I bet Columbus will be waiting for that. So see what happens there. But once again, this is a big, big matchup for the New York Red Bulls, and they need to go out there and they need to perform. And that is what we are all waiting to see. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guest, of course. I want to thank Christian Miles for joining me to review Portland FC Dallas. I want to thank you for listening to the show tonight. I also want to thank my good friend Jason Iapico from the Red Bull Rant podcast, as well as the managing editor of Once a Metro. I'm very grateful for him asking me to join the website. And once again, this will all start next month, the beginning of December in 2015. And next year, we're going to start also showing For Your Scenes Fire, American Soccer Show, on Once a Metro as well. Very grateful that Jason Iapico is allowed to have this show come on Once a Metro. Thank you very much, Jason. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening tonight. As always, please enjoy your football. Thank you very much. Have a good evening. Bye-bye for now. Good night, everybody.